What embargo? It's time for the top 10 of 2015. We've been a little in absentia for a little while. It's been crazy. Yellow Snapper was in Thailand doing some CIA stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, getting food poisoning.
Food poisoning. Did you get food poisoning?
Dude, really bad.
No kidding. Like, from what, you think?
I think it was at – I went to one of those floating markets and, you know, a bunch of boats, and you get the actual food from the boats.
That's a bad idea waiting to happen.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I got to realize that in a developing country, the sanitation isn't exactly up to our standards. So
yeah, my brother got a Q fever in Iraq one time. Yeah, because it's from like the Tigris Euphrates, because they're all like they dump dead bodies on it. So he just got it because like, they're cooking some onions and water. He was doing this little meet and greet with some people. He was Q fever. He was in the fucking hospital for forever, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Luckily, no, I've never gotten food poisoning though, so I'm good.
No, I mean, to the extent you're the United States, probably pretty slim chance. But dude, I was out for 2 days, like 2 days fever.
Gone.
And
were you lying at your house thinking you're gonna die?
Yeah, and then getting you know, gastrointestinal issues the whole time too. Like, oh, dude.
Did you have it on the airplane back?
No, thank God. Oh my gosh.
You know what though? You know why I don't like this? You know what this makes me think of? World War Z, man. World War Z. This is how the fucking zombie shit spreads. You know what I mean? Well, you didn't have anything on the airplane. You're perfectly fine. Like 2 days later, boom, you're fucking Oakland spreading shit. I'm just saying.
All right. So what are we here to talk about? Top 10.
We're here to talk about top 10 Habanos of 2015. Yes. And as you and I discussed, and it's always the rule, in my opinion, for top 10s, especially with Habanos or Cuban cigars. Rule number one, it doesn't matter when that cigar was released, because I think Cuba's different than non-Cubans in the fact that they just don't have as many new releases.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So anything goes as long as it comes from the island, in my opinion.
And in my opinion, I think the top 10 best smoke that's in terms of, you know, flavor and everything for us, not based upon release date, because as most people know, Cuban cigars, like regular, you know, any other cigars, they evolve with age, especially Cubans.
Yeah.
And typically they get better with age, and there's different, you know, maturation processes within the actual cigar after it gets rolled. So
absolutely.
So yeah.
So that's where we're going with that. And this year we decided to expand from top 5 to top 10. I don't think we could ever do a top 25 because we'd have the same cigars on there all the time. But top 10 is doable, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, sorry that we've been away for a couple of weeks or whatever the heck that was. I think it's been like a month now. But
We missed a month.
Yeah, but yeah, I was in Thailand vacation, and Seth was just smoking a bunch of warp stuff.
I was just smoking non-Cubans, getting ready to release my top 10 non-Cuban. Oh, and then I had a baby, but that like was recent.
Yes. No. But so let's get down to it.
But we're back.
Yeah.
We're gonna start with our tens, and then we're gonna work our way to the numero uno spot, and let's see how many we have in common, because I bet very little.
Probably very little, but number 10.
I'm going to start it off. Let me do this.
All right. So my first, my 10 and number 9 are, they taste like they still need quite a bit of age, but given their.
Why are you giving the 10 and 9? Just do 10.
Oh, I will, but there's a correlation between it, but I'm not going to give the 9 yet. So my number 10 is the H. Upman Connoisseur A. From 2014, November of 2014.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why? Wow. Interesting. Shouldn't that be on your list? Isn't it on your list?
No, I don't think it's there yet. But I see where you're going with it. I don't think it's there yet. It's a great stick, though.
I think it's one of the boldest rendition of what H. Upman comes out with, and for such a strong. It's definitely got young tobacco in it. It has got an edge to it, but I think it's smoking great now. I smoked through probably like half a box or so, And I think it'll just continuously get better. I mean, nobody really knows if the cigar is going to improve or not, but it tastes like a very rough around the edges, but great flavor cigar at this point.
Do you have a box code by any chance?
LUB November 14. And I'm pretty sure LUB is the Upman factory.
Yeah.
So.
Not bad. All right. My number 10. You're going to love this one. Hoya Monterey. Epicure number one.
Interesting.
SOT E&E January 2012. This is that Oya. Dude, this is probably one of the best Corona Gordas I have had in a long time. That thing smokes phenomenal.
And you know what? And it's, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big Hoyo Marca fan. I thought I wasn't anyways. So, no, but those are good, man. I remember when I first got those back in 12, and even now, they still smell great.
They're fantastic.
Yeah,
that is an incredible stick. It's just, it's magical.
Was that the one that we did that blind man's puff?
We did also the blind
that
the
thing blind about. Man, okay,
yeah.
Nice. I agree with that. Yeah. And come to think of it. Well, come to think of it, I mean, I was looking at my inventory list, right? So, like, I log all my stuff on Excel format. And when I got to the Hoyo stuff and I got down to it and I looked at the Epi ones and I thought, good, but maybe. And then I actually went down to the Hoyo San Juans, the Le Hoyo San Juans. I kind of feel like that cigar was like the Connie A, in which very young tobacco, but already super flavorful.
I love those.
Yeah, but that almost made my list. That was one of those things where I was like, oh, I got to cut it off. I think it was like top 15 for sure. So, cool. All right, my number nine. So my number nine is very similar to that Connie A, but this number nine already has about a good 6 years of age on it, but still really young, tasting anyways. It's the Vegas Ravina. Petite Romina, which is a Canadian regional that came out back in
07, isn't it?
No, 09.
09.
Yeah. So, I think, like, personally for me, I don't view a lot of the regular lines of Vegas Romina to be great cigars. I feel like within the regional, especially out of Canada, they're pretty good, like this one and their. They have like this anniversario one, like the sublime size. That one's pretty good. But I mean, this Romina, I mean, even though it's a little petite robusto, it burns incredibly slow. The flavors are so bold, and there's a lot of like richness to it. But at the same rate, it's still young. I mean, I remember getting lightheaded after I smoked that cigar, and it's just a little petite robusto. So.
It's a good one. I like Vegas Robina. I love the double Corona. The Famosa is a good size. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of it, and I like the regionals too. Most part of the regionals.
Yeah, so. And really, what I expect is within my number nine and my number 10, that these guys will pop up down the road in 16 and beyond. Because I'm banking on the fact that I think it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah, I can believe you on that. All right, my number nine, box code TEB, November 08, Bolivar, Bellicosos Finos.
Oh,
I was, 08. I've been smoking through the probably like last bit of these this year.
Phenomenal. Do you feel like, well.
Phenomenal.
I think this year in general, and I think for the last maybe 2-3 years that the Bolivar Bellicoso Finos, Cuba's hitting it like on stride.
They've been, the recent production has been completely solid. I'll agree with you on that one. But man, do you remember those TEB 08s?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's hard to beat those box codes. Those are like 2012s. I mean, yeah. TEB 08s are freaking phenomenal.
I mean, pretty much TEB 08s, anything with that kind of a box code, buy without hesitation, in my opinion. Yeah.
I've basically said if by some chance, some miraculous chance, you come across a box TEB08.
Yeah. Snag it up.
Snag it. I don't know how you're going to find it, but snag it.
Well, you can doing mainly private sales. You're going to pay. You're going to pay up the ass for it, but.
Yes.
But here, let me ask you a question about this. So can you tell us a little bit about how that 08 might have been different from the recent production BFFs? Like, I mean, automatically, I assume that in terms of strength-wise, it probably decreased. But maybe not. I mean.
No, there's not as much. You know, your Bolivar's got that strength when it's young. It's got that medium full thing. But, you know, since the 08, probably more medium strength, full bodied, full flavor. It's really kept those flavors. It's the tobaccos age well. I also think that it also comes back. I think 2007, 2008, Cuba Tobacco Habanos really turned things around. And they started showing improvement. I think they put more time into production. And I think those early batches really showed it. They've had some good years and some bad years since then. But TEB, which I believe people were saying was the Partagas factory, it's just the construction's fantastic on it. Flavors are just outstanding. And it's just, as you say, you know, with time, typically Cubans do a lot better. And that's definitely been the case.
Nice.
With the Bolivar.
Yeah. That's a good one, dude. That's and it's only at number 9 for you. That's interesting.
That's an interesting top 10 list.
This is going to be – I'm really curious when we get to the top 5 what kind of stuff that you'll start naming off. But
you're going to be throwing red flags.
No, you're going to be all like, Victor Sinclair or something. But all right, so number 8, smoke what you like. That's the point of what I just said. So number 8 is a cigar that I picked up this year. It's an aged cigar I picked up this year, but – unfortunately, I have no idea what it was like when it was young, so I can't speak on that behalf or what kind of condition it was carried in. So is a 2007 Partagas Connoisseur number 2, which is essentially like a, I think it's like a 6.5 by 38. So
yeah, it's a Panatella. Yeah, the unbanded, discontinued.
Yep.
Those things were fantastic.
really good. I mean, I remember when I first got those in, like most of my mature Habanos that come in, it just needs humid time. Like, it's almost – and the thing is, I'm one of those guys where when a box comes in, like ROTT, I like to get after it just to get some sort of a benchmark. But like most, you know, aged Habanos, it needs to sit like a couple of months or so. And after I let it sit a couple of months, I mean, this is it's so good. Like, it's got – so pretty much all the bite – of the typical Partagas that you get of like a lot of the spice notes and the heat. It's pretty much non-existent. It's got tons and spades of like cream and nuttiness. And it's got a really good body to it. So
yeah,
the only downside of it is I can't get any more from the source that I asked.
they don't make them anymore either. They discontinued the 1, 2s, and 3s.
Yep.
Which they were good. They were good.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big fan of them. And, you know, there's a lot of guys, especially those true passionate collectors, those older smokers, who if you talk to them about the Partagas Connoisseur 1, 2, and 3, they'll rave about it.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it's one of those cigars where you get those old school guys on the forums, and they'll say,
"Oh yeah,
they don't make them like they used to." You know, like
they don't make them like this. It's 65 and 70 year olds who have nothing else better, who've retired or just drinking coffee, smoking Cubans. Yeah, those guys, the troopers.
And they'll talk about this particular cigar as one of those great ones from back in the day.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like going back to like they'll get going talking about Partagas 898 varnished unvarnished for like 15 years. Man.
All right. Your number.
Mine, actually, continuing off of that. Mm-hmm. Now, you know Crux cigars.
Yep.
You know their Crux Connoisseurs 1, 2, and 3.
Yep.
It's kind of like a tribute.
Yeah. Oh, that makes total sense.
Exact same sizes.
Yeah.
Good
on you, Crux. I appreciate that. You give props to the traditions. I appreciate that.
My number 8, another Hoya. Hoya de Monterey, Epicure Deluxe, LCDH.
Dude.
AME November 2012. This was a Petit Robusto that when I first smoked them, I was like, eh, whatever. Then I came back to it. I was like, that's a little bit better. And I come back, and I'm like, wow, this thing is phenomenal. Classic oil flavors, nice body. I mean, super mild. I don't think you could ask for anything really better with this.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, incredibly undervalued cigar.
The price is ridiculous on these things.
I think on special, you get it for like, what? I think on I have Havanas right now, I think it's for like $70 a box. It's ridiculous. Yeah. No, that's a great one. You know what's interesting about how you just named two Hoyos? I looked at the Hoyo listing in Journal, and I looked at – so, like, the way I went about this is I looked at my inventory list, and I kind of gauge of, like, what I smoked within the year. Mm-hmm. And I kind of reconcile that to – so I take a picture of all of the cigars I smoke. So it all gets uploaded on the cloud, right? And the cloud's all dated, time-stamped. So that was basically my list. I'm like, oh, whatever, right? So when I got to the Hoyo sticks, and that includes the San Juan, the Epicure Deluxe, and the Epi 1, I stopped for a little bit, and I thought, this is like, I just immediately thought this brand isn't top 10 worthy. But really thinking about it, it's pretty damn good.
It is, you know? Top 10 worthy. Yeah. Hands down. Mm. This is a big Hoyo year for me. Mm. I'm surprised.
Nice. No, that's a total stickler. And this is a conversation I want to have after we talk about our listing is in terms of Marca and Vitolas and whatnot, like the actual Cuban cigars in general, what surprised us and what have we transitioned from our likes and dislikes from last year or just say the past to this year? Because I think for me, that definitely changed.
Yeah.
And Hoyo is definitely on that list. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Number seven for me is also La Casa de Habano exclusive. It's the San Cristobal Morella from EMA October 2007. So
old school, man.
Yeah, it's I mean, this was on the list for me last year as well. And I typically don't like smoking really big cigars. Certainly not a big old Rodolfo like that. But if I really like it, it needs to capture my attention the whole time. And I swear, sometimes when I have cigars, I have ADD and I'll just kind of not think about it anymore if it's that big ass of a cigar. This was not it. This was absolutely amazing. And I also feel like I should give some props to the San Cristobal Oficio from 08 that are also fantastic. But this one took the ring because it's such a large format that's done incredibly well. And it's still got legs.
San Cristobal is, man, what an interesting brand. I just love it.
Yeah.
Good deal, man. What a good one. Gosh. All right, my number seven, Trinidad Reyes.
Wow, interesting.
OUR November 2008. I remember when I bought these, very, very affordable price, by the way. These are incredibly affordable. Back in, I think, 2009. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know, whatever. Smoked a couple of them. I was like, I'll age them. And remember when we did our last show with Jose and we talked about Trinidad?
Yep.
What did he say? They need age.
Yep.
I came back to one after that show and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. And I kept smoking them. And I smoked them throughout the year, but I was like, yes, these are fantastic. Great price. This is a great little Petit Corona too. Very affordable. And with age, if you can age them for as long as however long I did, basically 7 years, I don't think you can do anything wrong with that.
No, that's a great one because speaking of Trinidad's, I totally agree that they need age. They need a good 5 years plus to make it shine, in my opinion, or else there's still a lot of that acrid, you know, kind of unsmokable flavors, in my opinion, or it's just not worth smoking it. So Trinidad this year has been for me one of those brands, especially the Reyes, in which I will give to a new guy that doesn't really know about Cuban cigars. And by none, and these are 2012s that I have, which in my opinion, they're not ready to smoke. But I keep giving them out to especially new guys because every single one of them that comes back and tells me about them, they always it's that, you know, discussion of, man, this is really good. Where did you get it? What is this thing, right?
Oh yeah.
So nice.
It's you know, and I was thinking about this. It's kind of a combination of Vigueras and Cohiba. That's how I look at Trinidad.
Huh. In what sense?
I just feel that it offers those two qualities. It offers that, you know, grassy, you know, a little bit of a citrus, lemony, you know, lemongrass quality of the Cohiba, kind of, but also that like hay and country and barnyard kind of feel with the Vigueros. It's
I could see that. I could see that within a Reyes.
Cohiba's the urban city, urban cigar. Vigueros is the country cigar. You know, Trinidad is it's the suburbs.
Huh.
It's and being the dad, man, I'm in the suburbs. The city life's gone, and until I retire and to the Vigueros in the country, I'm smoking the suburbs.
Yeah. No, right on. That's a good analogy.
sure it is, I guess.
Number six. Number six is actually a cigar that was released this this past year. So it is the Ramon Iones Short Perfectos from Italy, Italy regional, in other words.
You sent me that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, Seth, you'll get to smoke it, and maybe you'll do a write-up or something, or if you have time. But, man, what a surprise. I mean, I got these cigars thinking that, oh, cool, it has an old-school Ramon band, and I'm just going to get some because it's
that's all I'm waiting for.
Just yeah. No, because the collector in me thought, wow, this is cool. Tough to get in Italy. And
it's an Italian regional. How good can it be?
But, man, it was good. I mean, you know, the last third was you could definitely tell the youth behind it. But, man, lots of, like, that stewed stone fruit sort of a thing going on. A lot of cream. Just a lot of great body. The only thing I wish that was a bigger cigar. I wish your flavors lasted longer.
Wanted to be bigger. You know, here's my question about Ramon Iones. Don't you kind of wish sometimes that they would just choose a band? And how do they randomly go about picking an older band? I sometimes just kind of get irritated with that sense.
Yeah. I mean, to that line, I feel the same irritation with Por La Arenaga. Right?
Oh, like man, the new band's too fancy.
Right, and then and Por La Arenaga, I just kept thinking about how there was like an average Joe kind of a Cuban cigar brand, you know.
Exactly.
But
it, give it a nice packaging.
Yeah, but now it's like you know with the UK release and the Spain, the like they've become this like fancy schmancy gold, you know,
it's this like monstrous gold thing. While usually it's just like this rustic. Yeah, it's, you know, the other one is like Partagas. They always, you know, you have like the classic Partagas bands and then like the Partagas D4, P2 bands. It's almost like you should have just kept the same bands.
Yeah, I hear you. All right.
Moving on. My number six. This one's going to start a debate. This one's from December 2009, MOA Box Cut. And I'm going to defend myself. H. Upman Magnum 50.
Huh.
Let me get going in saying that I recognize that when H. Upman Magnum 50s are young, they're not that great. I get it. And with a little bit of time, they get a little bit better. But within, I reviewed this 20 months ago. Within the time that I've smoked this year, for some reason, this box has really all of a sudden become incredible. And I don't know if that's because I sprinkled Lucky Charms in the box or what I did, but they really turned around and become really incredible.
You said this is, I'm sorry, at 09?
09.
I am surprised by that. I mean, for such a large format, especially being the Mag 50.
And I'm not the big Mag 50 guy. I'm not. But
yeah,
this stick got it.
I wouldn't even go as far as to say I'm not a big, Upman Magnum line in general kind of guy.
Yeah.
you know, I absolutely love the Connie line in his in the Half Corona, of course. But yeah, that is a surprise, and that's number six.
It's number six. I know my list that's is just going downhill. Maybe we were supposed to start with our number one, right? No, I was good. So yeah, man, it's one of those that really, it just spoke to me a lot, and I had to show it that respect. And who knows where it's going to go? Maybe it's just this fluke box. Maybe someone's going to say, "Tuna, you're on crack," but you know what? Oh well.
Huh? Okay. I can't say I disagree because I haven't smoked that in a while.
Yeah.
But off the bat, just based upon discussions and talks, et cetera, that's a little different. So, moving on.
Number five.
This is a cigar that I just picked up like a freaking month ago.
Going through recent stuff.
No, but this is not a 15 release. This is the Rey del Mundo Aniversario of Asia Pacific Regional from 2012. Surprised?
Well, yeah, no. I'll give you this. I remember when I first smoked them, I was like, I don't fucking get it. And I kind of bashed it on a form. I can't remember what form I was on. And I got some major hate mail from some El Rey del Mundo lovers out there.
There's a following for El Rey del Mundo.
Yes, there is. Yeah. I know there is. I think I pissed them all off.
Yeah, you did.
But after smoking it, I'm with you. It really got better.
Yeah, I mean, I've never smoked it when it first came out. The first time I smoked it was probably like a month or so ago. And after I smoked one, because one of the guys on the forums, on one of the forums a part of, he gifted it to me. And like immediately after I smoked it, I went to get a box. So I love that cigar, man. Like the only thing is the construction kind of sucked on that cigar. And I went through 2-3 renditions of it, and they all still kind of suck. But maybe it's nature of needing more humid time. Because, I did just get them. Loved it. All right. You go.
My number five, and here's the thing about this, and I'm gonna explain this. I had this picked out before some magazine put it in their top 25. Just wanted that on the record. I just didn't have it published, but I had it out there. And yes, it's young, and I know we just talked about it needs age, but it showed me a lot young. And I know it's going to deliver me. This is one of those things. I drafted this kid knowing, dude, he just needs some time on the field to get the shit kicked out of him. In 3 years, he's going to be a hell of a running back. The Trinidad Vigia.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, this is a first round draft pick, and this is a dude.
Yeah, but
this
is gonna. But we're talking the best cigars, all Cuban cigars smoked in 15, and you put that as number five.
Because I smoked it, and when I smoked it, I knew. I was like, man, I really like this. But the only thing that kept coming to mind, and every time I've smoked this, every time that's come to mind is, this is going to be even better. This is just going to keep getting great. So, yes, that's a little biased possibly, but I'm defending it in the fact that you watch in 2018, you're going to have it in your top 10. I'm just saying.
Because I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. What I do doubt is currently on your list.
Well, you know what? It is what it is. And I'll explain a couple things afterwards if we can substitute it if it's that big of an issue. But anyway.
Okay. No, I mean, I could see it, but that is very high.
I see it, but it's just not there. I know.
Yeah.
I knew that was going to draw a controversy. But, there was a little – there was a little confidence that came with it. I was like, oh, okay, Cigar Aficionado put it, I think, like number 18 or something like that, 20, 17, 19.
Oh, is that? Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, they put it up there too.
Huh.
A little bit lower, but.
Okay.
Yep.
So my number – now we're hitting the top four. So my number four, which I just put one of in the latest package that I sent to you, and you've seen me smoke this on Instagram.
I did.
This reminded me of during the Thunderdome for Punch. So, yeah, so Punch Thunderdome made me think, man, what else, what other punch do I have? And I started just kind of smoking random ones that I had. And to come out of it, the one that I hit for number four was a unbanded punch, is a 1999 punch Super Selection number two.
Super Selection number two.
Yeah, I don't know much about Super Selections. I sure as heck have not had a lot of them. I know that it has been discontinued in 2002. I was lucky enough to basically go around, my buddies got one of those cabs of 50 of these guys, because I think it only comes in cabs of 50s. But anyways, so he parted like 10 of them. Dude, it's so good. Like, I can't – like, I think when people talk about cigars from back in the days – and how well they're smoking right now, even though it's been so long, and it has so much flavor and still has the strength. Not overly powerful by any means, but still, you know, you're smoking. this is a prime example of it. And I also feel like this has another 5 years to go at a minimum. So great cigar. Yeah, man. Delicious Habanos. I'm curious what you'll think of it, Seth, when you get to smoke it. So,
1999, dang, that's an old baby.
That is, wow. But you would not guess that it's a 99. You would guess that it's probably in like 2005s or around that time frame. So,
interesting. Yeah. All right, my number four. The Ramon Iones Gran Robusto Edition Regional Benelux. Now, here's a catcher on this. This is a 2008. I smoked the 2008 Regional. But if you know the Regional program, which you do, you know that if it's successful the first year, they can bring it back again for the second year. Well, in 2007, they released this. The thing was a success. They brought it back in 2008. When I was in Antwerp, was in the La Casa de Habano there, they had a cabinet. I slide the box of these because they came in cabinets of 50. They didn't have any full ones, but I didn't get the box code, but I just picked up a bunch of them out of there. This is fantastic. This is – I wish all Ramona smoked like this. This is one of those things, if they made this regular production, they better back it up consistently because it was fantastic. It was
– Yeah. And these are the – you know – moments like that makes me think, man, why, like Ramon, for instance, I think they knock it out of the park pretty consistently with their ER program, their regional program for Ramones.
They do.
And it makes me think, dude, are the tobaccos that you guys have that truly limited that it could only be a regional? Or why can't you turn this into a regular production? I don't know, because, of course, Cuba doesn't disclose any of that stuff.
They don't, and it's one of those things I sometimes say, you know, it's like, you know, I could sacrifice getting rid of the Special Select in the Petit Coronas if you made this consistently. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would back it up, and it's one of those things that's kind of – and, I mean, don't get me wrong, Cuba discontinues shit all the time. But right. This was just – it was awesome. Knowing what they had, if I went back there and they had a cabinet of 50, I'd buy it in a heartbeat.
It was nice. Great. Very nice. All right. Moving right along. Number three. Number three is pretty high up on the list for a very controversial limited edition that came out. It is a jawbreaker, but I can't stop smoking these damn things. And yes, I'm talking about the Cohiba Robusto Supremos, man, which is the 2014 limited edition.
Put it up there.
Yeah, you know, this year, thinking about large format Cuban cigars, for instance, you know, well, this cigar is fucking amazing. It has such a great, like, it doesn't really taste like a Cohiba, right? First of all, I didn't feel like it really tastes like anything from the Siglo line or Coro and any of that. It just doesn't. Flat out doesn't. It has great chocolate. It's got great, like a nice cherry note to it. And it's got a lot of great body. I mean, the actual ring gauge does break the jaw. I mean, of course it's going to break the jaw. It's like at whatever 58, whatnot ring gauge or 60 ring gauge.
Yeah, 58 ring gauge. It's the biggest. It's the biggest.
Right. But man, Cuba did this right. I mean, this was definitely gunning towards the U.S. market of making such a big, you know, Gordo. But I think in terms of flavors, they knock it out of the park. So, yeah.
It's a good one. And, you know, what I'll say is for an island that really doesn't make big ring gauge cigars, mm-hmm. and for someone who's not a supporter of big ring gauge cigars, they really know how to make a good big ring gauge cigar.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, and that's just to show, like, because at one point people said, all right, what does Cuba does well? What do they do well in tobacco? Everyone says small platforms, right? You know, smoke petite coronas and smaller, and then you'll get a true sense of what Cuba takes its stride in. No bullshit, because this cigar was amazing, right? And as a matter of fact, the H. Upman Mag 56 limited edition for 15, that was actually my number one cigar on Blind Man's Puff, in which I contribute to. I can't believe that it's number one, first of all, because, well, that's different. Over there, it's truly what came out and released in 2015. But yeah. So that's the main caveat behind that one. But nonetheless, I mean, that was my number one over there. So that's a big freaking cigar. But it's incredibly flavorful. It's got great body, and it's got a good kick to it. I mean, after you smoke in that, I mean, you want to reach for some chocolate or a bite to eat or something, you know? So
nice.
Yeah.
Number three. That's a tribute to Punch Thunderdome, man. Punch Gran Robusto, Spain.
I knew you were going to list that one.
Dude.
I knew you were going to list that one.
You can't not – if after smoking that, you can't say, man, one, this is an incredible regional that's aged fantastically. And two,
right.
Awesome punch. I mean, this is punch like punch is supposed to be. That's just – I don't know, man. Everyone who smoked it – we've talked to a lot of people after that show. People went and bought it. They're like, holy cow, this is that good.
Yeah.
Spain hit it. Spain got something with that, baby.
No, I agree. I totally agree with you. And it's definitely got a place for, you know, top 15 at a minimum, in my opinion. It's do that much justice. I also think that it's a cigar that's worth smoking a whole freaking box of and be completely happy with. You know, you smoke for 10 days in a row and you smoke only that cigar, you'll be happy for 10 days in a row.
It is. And, you know, it's one of those, and I know this sounds silly, but it's like, you know, you smoke through them, and if they're gone, they're gone. But, man, they were great.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you're not going to – you don't need to stress out all the time back, oh, I got to go get more. It's one of those things, man, I smoked through them. Those things were awesome.
Yeah.
And I really loved them.
Good reminiscing kind of cigar.
Exactly. Just keep the box. Like, God, I love those things. They don't make them like they used to. Nice, sure. Man. Number two,
getting there. So my number two is the opposite of what you just said about after you smoke them all, they're gone, then you're good with it. I'm incredibly sad that I don't have any more of these because I only got one of these. So this is a Cuban custom roll. It's a farm roll. It is not a Hamlet. It is not a Ronaldo, or it is not Johnny O. It's none of that shit. This is like leagues beyond that. So the one I'm talking about is a huge fucking cigar, weighing in at 6.25 by 62 ring gauge.
Wow.
I'm talking about a Vegas Robina family custom roll, otherwise known as the La Bestia, i.e. the Beast. So this was only handed out back in the day when Alejandro Robina was around, and Hiroshi still has some of these, and he still gives them out on super rare occasion. I acquired this through one of the guys I know at my local B&M, and he got these, he said, around 2002. So it was so – I mean, I think when you talk about a perfect cigar, this is it. Spice, sweetness, creaminess, earthiness, just everything with a cigar that a cigar should be within the body of it, within transitioning, within building upon for a second, last third, it's got it all. I smoked this so freaking much at the end that I'm pretty fucking sure the cherry of the nub touched my tongue. And that's when I put it out.
It's like, it's done now.
Yeah. Man. But I went back to the guy and I actually asked him if he had any more of them. And he said, yeah, I think I have one more. And I said, I'll buy it. Name a price. And then all he said was, you know, let's do a trade. Because I know that he doesn't really smoke Cuban cigars anymore. He likes his Davidoff. And I'm like, you want some I was like, you want some Davidoff Nicaraguans or something? he's like, yeah, just give me a couple of those and we'll be good. I was like, all right. But I haven't talked to him since. But I am going to do it. I mean, I'll do it a freaking heartbeat. I'll probably do a reach around, you know, after I do something like that with him. So,
yeah.
All right.
Speaking of special sticks, those cigars that are just special. Edmundo Dantes, Conde 54. Regional Edition Mexico 2011. I don't think
number two.
I don't think you can make anything better than Edmundo Dantes sometimes.
I agree.
I mean, you smoke those and you're like, this is it. This is all I want to smoke.
Hmm.
I mean, what a fantastic, and you know, it's a very interesting regional because it's a regional release because it's, you know, it's like a spinoff of the Monte Cristo, but they couldn't do it because of trade restrictions or, you know, everything like that. So they made it Mundo Dantes. I mean, you smoked the 109, which is phenomenal.
It is phenomenal, but my money is actually on the 54. I do think it'll beat off that 109 because just that, I feel like just that extra few ring gauge in that kind of that sublime format.
Yeah.
Really helps it. Age more gracefully. So
it is just one of those that is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. I mean, shit.
No, man, that's a proper one to have.
I mean, if that's not anyone, I mean, that's just fantastic. All I can say.
Oh. And that guy came out in 2011, so smoking it just, you know, a quick 4 years afterwards and see how much that, you know, was is still so special. I mean, I remember when it, came out back then, it was a fantastic cigar. But, yeah, I think in 2016, rumor has it that they're doing another Vitola of that.
Yeah, supposedly there's like a torpedo or something.
Yeah, it's like some sort of a torpedo version of it. I don't exactly remember the dimensions, but or the rumored dimensions rather. But you know, when that comes in, dude, that is
people are gonna go crazy over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna fucking go crazy over it. So
yeah,
good one. That's a really good one, dude. All right, number one cigar. My number one cigar for this past year.
If this is a recent 2015 release, you're going to get killed.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to get lynched for this one. It's actually my number one cigar that I smoked in 2014 as well.
What?
And if you ever hung out with me and herf with me and you know your Cuban cigars, I will always bring this up and be like, I need more. So this is a 2001 Rey del Mundo Tainos.
You talk about that one a lot. I'll give you that.
Yeah. I love this cigar, and I have one more left, and I think I'm going to smoke it hopefully when I'm not drunk, just when I have a really good palate.
So when I'm not drunk.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know what's interesting about this cigar? I saw it come up on auction through some of the social media website auctions. A box of these sold. So this is a slide lid box of 25.
Yeah, it's 25.
Yep. Guess how much it sold for the box?
Well, hold on. What did it originally sell for? Like 300?
Yeah, it's probably sold the same price as those the Quadro Say Imperiales or something.
Okay.
Yeah, like $300. Yeah, $300. Yeah.
$10,000.
No, not that much. Come on, man. This is these are Davidoff Dunhills. $3,500. $3,500.
$10,000, $3,500. Either way.
Yeah, I mean, if you got kind of that kind of a bank to buy cigars in the first place, it doesn't fucking matter to you. But
yeah, nonetheless, yeah, exactly.
Incredible.
That's
am I gonna pay $140 a stick for this? No, hell no. I'll never do that. But amazing, amazing cigar. And I the only thing that makes me sad is I'll have one more of these and they're gonna be gone soon, because I believe in smoking all of these right now because they are perfect right now. That is a 100-point cigar for me. The Vegas Ravina Custom Roll is a 100-point cigar for me. I can't name any other cigar that goes even remotely to being 100 points.
That's man, you pulled out a vintage discontinued on me.
Hey.
Hey, man, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I support it.
All right. Tell us your number one. Tell us that Cuava that you love so much.
That Cuava. Monte Cristo 80 Anniversario.
Ah. I was wondering when that one's going to show up on your list.
I'm telling you, when you smoke it, you're going to say, you know, this is what I'll say. These past couple years, year and a half,
nice.
Ever since the whole Cuba talks come up, everyone's been bashing Cuba. They don't grow the tobacco. They don't blend, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard it.
Oh, yeah.
This is a cigar from Cuba that I would love to give to all those people and say, you're a fucking idiot.
Yep.
And they would smoke it and they'd say, yep, I'm fucking wrong. Because it's just, it's that's it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's up there with Mundo Dantes for me. Those are, that just shuts people up. That just puts people in their place.
Yeah. And this is a prime, that cigar is a prime example of saying, yes, when Cuba wants to, they make the best cigars in the world, bar none, period.
I agree. When they, you know, when they put their minds to it, it's
right. Like, now, it's
yeah. What? No.
Well, yeah. Well. So I just had this discussion with somebody actually, and he said, "So we're talking about, like, you know, our top whatever cigars of the year, and he knows that I'm a total, you know, I like my Cubans more than the nons, and I like them overall more, and I think they're better, they're tastier, fits my palate more." So, and he goes, "You know what? I disagree that Cuba makes the best, has the best tobaccos and make the best cigars." And I was like, listen, the only reason why you disagree is because you mainly smoke non-Cuban cigars. And the few Cuban cigars that you smoked, think about what they are. And the reality of what they are is they're regular production cigars. They're new regular production cigars. And every time he rated one of them, it rates in the upper 90s or mid-90s, right? And I said, how many of the non-Cubans that you smoked this year came remotely close to that? And then he mainly named things like Warped, Illusioni, Mad Respect. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. Mad Respect to a lot of those.
Right. So I said, what does that tell you? You think it's a coincidence?
Uh-oh. Yellow Snap is getting paged. It's the food poison center.
Oh, God. I'll finally shit normally. But anyways, but yeah, I mean, Monte 80th, Mundo Dante 54, vintage Taínos Arena Mundo.
Oh yeah, it's,
I mean, new shit. Like, look at our look. So my top five is basically, out of the five, two of them are fairly new within the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, I mean, right? It's just.
Yeah. I mean, what does that tell you? Like, Cuba's got the whole fest spectrum going. I mean, I think it's complete. I'm sorry to be on a tangent, but I think it's completely, you're doing a disservice when you say claims like Cuba doesn't have anymore. How many fucking Cuban cigars have you smoked? And what Cuban cigars have you smoked?
Yeah, I mean, three out of my five are at least 3 years old.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing is, and this is what I'm saying is, you take three of those five, they're at least 3 years old. You take any non-Cuban, age it 3 years, see where it is.
Yep.
It's nowhere.
Yeah. It's a different cigar.
It is, and it's not where it is now, and it's not better. And I can tell you that those three cigars, I guarantee that while they're great now, they were solid when they were first released as well.
Yeah.
they just reached a whole new level.
Yep. I hear you. All right, cool. So let's talk about a topic that I've been wanting to talk with you about that we haven't been planning to talk about.
can I share one stick that was on the debate?
Oh,
didn't make it up.
Yeah, certainly.
It was Cohiba Coronas Especial from 2004.
Nice.
And why I didn't make the list, to be honest, I probably forgot about it. But I remembered it after getting, and I was like, dude, that was a fantastic smoke. That was gifted to me.
You know, well, in that same line, given the same marca, for me, I had a couple of really good Siglos. I had a 2005 Siglo 5, and I had a 2006 Siglo 3. And I didn't put that on a list, and I realized why I didn't put it on a list, because they're not consistent. Out of the box, some draw great, some draw crap. And I can't do that justice in doing a top 10.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Nice. I think for me.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's go to that
topic. No. What were you going to say? I think for me.
No, I think for me, that marca that didn't hit any of my top 10 but deserved to be on it, perhaps, if I were to, you know. No, I'm sticking with my list. But honorable mention.
Honorable mentions.
Like we were talking about earlier in this segment, the Hoyo marca in general. I think Hoyo gets – I don't think Hoyo gets enough love. I think they're like the stepchild that gets pushed aside and, you know.
They get forgotten about from time to time.
Yeah, like namely, I'm talking about what you had, the Epi 1, from 2012.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Deluxe. I'm talking about – the Hoyo San Juan, and I'm talking about, let's go older. Let's go limited edition 2007, the Regalos. All at different parts. Yeah. All flavorful, all at different strengths, all at all sorts of spectrum on the strength level. Okay. Delicious, but all delicious. So
I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. So here's a question for you. And I want to kind of an open-ended discussion about. So I realized for me from 2014 and the Habanos that I smoked and 2015 and the Habanos that I smoked that my marca preferences has for the most part drastically changed. So has it been for you? Because so for instance, for me, right? I realized that it's kind of like how I got into the wine world, right? I just bought a bunch of these cult California cabs. You know, it's like $150, $200. It's like I have no idea what the fuck I'm tasting on my palate, and I just buy it just to buy it, right? So how do I relate that to the Cuban cigar industry? And personally for me, when I first started, I mean, part against Monte Cristo, Cohiba, they make great cigars, don't be wrong, but I purposely will not look at brands like Polo Arenaga, Quiet Orce, and Aredo Mundo. And I feel like within this past year, I look at the actual stuff that I've purchased. If it is like Cohiba, I will buy age boxes. But what am I really buying a lot of? Aredo Mundo, Polo Arenaga, Quiet Orce, especially going deep on the Imperialis after I discontinued. But El Rey del Mundo, for sure, amazing. The Infantes, the Spain regionals that just came out, even the Demitas, even the 2014 new fresh the Suave Supreme, great cigar. So what about you? You still sticking to the same thing?
You know, the thing about me is I smoked for a really long time. And I smoked every market, man. I worked to find everything.
Hmm.
And find what I liked. And I'll admit there was a period in there where I really enjoyed Partagas. you know, early on, I'll be honest, I'll say, yeah, man, I really got behind Monte Cristo. But as years have gone by, I don't smoke Monte Cristo. If I smoke a Monte Cristo, it'll be a Petit de Mundo.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I really don't smoke Montes, and, you know, I just don't purchase them. Partagas, I used to smoke them. I still, the ones I have, I'll smoke, but do I purchase Partagas? No. I have very little interest in Partagas. I do like the Limitada, but other than that,
yeah,
really don't bother me.
That's a really interesting comment you just made about Partagas. I think aside from the Partagas LE 2014s, I didn't purchase any Partagas this year.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
Yeah. I have always gotten behind Bolivar from a long time ago. I still get behind Bolivar. Mm. I like the flavors with
for
it.
For sure.
It's just a brand that I can get behind, whether yeah. it's a Petit Corona or a Bellicosos Finos, Royal Coronas, even the Gigantes. I like the flavors delivered. So that's one of those brands that I've stood behind and I've made purchases on. Pearl Arenaga, there's very little to choose from, so I just purchased Petit Coronas. I like them.
Yeah. And the thing is, Pearl Arenaga is, I mean, if you're talking about the UK release of the Sober Alienantes or Sober Aliens that people always call them, and then the Spain regionals. Wow, slipped in my mind.
The Spain had a good one. I mean, even yeah. the Picadores has gotten better, but it's like, to me, just give me the old faithful Petit Coronas.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's just like,
yep.
that's the flavor profile I like in the brand.
Right.
It does well with age. It's a good quick smoke.
Yeah.
Agreed. You know, Ramon Iones, I'm not smoking as much of them as I used to. I find that I'm getting behind the regionals.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with the regionals, but it's how often do I smoke? You know, I never really smoked Petit Coronas or the Robustos. I mostly smoke the Double Coronas, which I'll smoke, but it's just, mm-hmm. I know it's wintertime now. When summer comes, yeah, I'll smoke some more Ramon Iones, but not really.
I hear you.
So, you know, and the other brands that I really stick to, and it's a brand that I've been a fan of, but I continuously come back to, is H. Upman. I'm a big H. Upman guy.
I was just about to say, I completely forgot to call out H. Upman.
I love that marca. I think you name a Vitola, I'd be a fan smoke of it.
Yeah.
From the Sir Winston down to the Half Corona.
Yeah.
It's just and I know you're not crazy on Juan Lopez, but man, I love it. Robusto or Corona Gorda, great flavors. I always consider them like a kind of a cheap age Chapman, and it's they do well with age, and they're good young too.
No, for sure. I think the standout for me this year was definitely Arreda Mundo. Like, to a certain extent, if there's any Arreda Mundo that's out, I'm going to buy it because I really got behind that brand. And the only unfortunate part, of course, is there's not a whole lot in production in comparison to the other bigger brands. What I can't get behind till this day is brands like Kawaba, Fonseca. You know, it's the same bullshit. Quintero, like, why am I gonna buy any of this stuff? Like, I mean, well, because first of all, I smoke cigars because, you know, I don't believe in yard cigars. I believe in smoking enjoyable cigars. So that stayed true throughout the years for me. But the market definitely shifted. And I bought this past year probably the most Ramon Iones. But the funny part is, when I think about what I most enjoy this year smoking, it's not Ramon. It's far from it. It's a lot of the old faithfuls, really, and the newer stuff of still within the same market, but still really enjoys, like, you know, like H. Upman's and, you know, the San Cristobals and the ERDMs.
I need to come back to the ERDMs. I'm really given much time to ERDMs, and maybe I need to.
It's a pretty... It is, but I don't actually like I don't like getting nicotine effects on my cigars at all. So I think that's one of the reasons why I like El Rey del Mundo so much, because they are definitely lighter smokes, but I mean, they're very flavorful. So
it does very well, from my understanding, it does very well in the Asia Pacific market. And it's interesting to see where these markets do well. Like Porlar Naga does very well in Asia Pacific, and I know England.
Yeah.
You know, Floridicano, I think, does very well in Asia Pacific. Asia Pacific and England are pretty.
And then you look at like Ramon. Ramon kills it in the Middle East, right? Like everything that comes out of Middle East is gold.
Yeah, they do Middle East, and you know, I think they do a little bit of you know, the Northern Europe.
So.
And then you know, you have a lot of other stuff that's just. I'm with you. It's just I haven't bought Pargas in forever. I haven't bought Cohiba in forever. Did I get some Bajiques at Duty Free? Yeah. You know, have I smoked them yet? No. I don't know why I got them, but I was like, oh, I'll just get some Bajiques.
Yeah. You can't bypass a beautiful Bajique band and some gorgeous Colorado red wrappers. You can't. So
yeah, I mean, the box is enticing. It just draws you in. You're like, box of 10, let's get them. So yeah, it's one of those things. I'm interested to see where next year goes.
Speaking of next year, let's spend a quick 5-10 minutes and talk about next year.
I think we should start next year with an H. Upman Magnum 56 show.
All right, let's do it. We want to see the big. So yeah, maybe that's a good concept for our next show. Is let's talk about big format Cuban cigars.
We'll talk about bigs, big Cubans.
Yeah,
big Cubans spending the G's.
Yeah.
So and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Cohiba. We'll talk about the Wide Churchill. We're gonna rock it out.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, man. But other than that, man, that's our top 10. I have it up. June, you can send me your list. We'll put it up. And we'll share our top 10 of the year. And then we'll see you all in 2016.
Yeah. Thank you for viewing, you guys. And thank you for the getting through the transition with us. We definitely miss Catfish a lot. He's still around and posts bullshit comments once in a while. So you can still catch him.
He still does his thing from time to time.
Yeah, but
so
see you in 16, fellas.
What a Margo. Have a safe New Year's. Peace.